And the reason I've chosen these two words is because I really want this coming week for you to be able to remember what we talked about today and hope to find some practical value from what we discussed. So that's where I'm trying to get to. So the first word we're going to spend time talking about this morning is this word, watch. And I suppose the reason I suddenly became interested in this topic was because over the years, I guess because I was born into a Christadelphian family, and I've heard, I don't know how many times, sort of comments about watching for the signs of the times, that sort of good language that you use. And it sort of occurred to me relatively recently, we talk a lot about doing it, but we don't talk about how do you actually do it. How do you actually do it? So what I want to share with you over the next 25-30 minutes or so is some thoughts about how do we actually watch for Jesus? What can you do this week that will transform your lives? I know that might sound a bit dramatic, but this will be a great tool if that's what happens. That when you wake up tomorrow morning, you watch for Jesus in a different way. So that's what I'm trying to achieve. And if you don't, hey, I hope you enjoy the slides. So, by the way, this pink background is really cool, but nothing to do with me. I plugged my cable in, and according to Simon, somehow or another, your machine magically turned it pink. So please don't write to me about the background, okay? It was white. So, let's just think about this word watch. So, we spend a lot of time watching our watches, don't we? We're a society that's absolutely constrained by time. One of the miracles of today is that my son said he was actually going to come here today. And I said to him, we need to leave the house at 8:30 in the morning. And at 8:30, we got in the car and he looked at me. He said, I told you. So Alex has been watching his watch this morning to make sure that we left on time. That slide picture on the bottom right there, your bottom left. And we love to watch people, don't we? We sort of hear this phrase, people watch. We don't really know why we do it, but we just do. We sort of watch people. When I was in London, I used to travel to Canary Wharf, and I was just amazed by just the number of people all just buzzing around, doing lots of things, and you used to watch them and think, what are they doing with their lives? And the photograph there is from a Coast Guard hut, where I did some washing. So I did 4-hour shifts, just watching out to see, there was a purpose to it, to see if there were anybody in danger, maybe a kayaker, or maybe a boat, or maybe somebody too near the rocks, etc. So we spend a lot of our lives just watching. And sometimes we think, actually, we need to see these things a bit more clearly. So we get some binoculars out, or maybe we've got a telescope, or maybe you like looking at stars. So we spend a lot of time trying to find things that help us watch better. And this is for Alex and Ben, but this is actually Alex, my son. Okay, this is true. So here he is on the sofa at home. That's the third horror film we've watched today, and I still don't feel I've lost any weight. And with a big bag of popcorn. So we need to watch what it is we actually watch. So although this is a vaguely amusing cartoon, you know, there's a pretty key message behind it that says, actually, you can very easily, in this world, get into a routine of just watching purely for watching's sake. And here's this guy with his big popcorn, and he's just watched his third movie. Okay, so that's some thoughts about the word watch. So, I don't know if you know this, but the human brain works well when you suggest to it things in threes. So, this will work well, and your brain will be functioning brilliantly if tomorrow morning when you wake up and you think, what are the three P's of watching for Jesus? And you remember these three P's. Okay? So that's your challenge. So tomorrow morning you wake up just to check your brain has worked well today, you can remember these three P's. Then when you remember the three P's, you remember how to watch for Jesus this week differently. So I'm going to suggest to you that how to watch for Jesus, the first P we have is that we have a purpose to it. And I'll explain what all these mean hopefully as we go along. My second P is that we watch with perseverance. It is a truism that actually nothing is that easy in life. Actually, watching is not that an easier thing to do, curiously. And we'll see why. And how it was actually hard for the disciples. And my third P is prayer. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, okay, and you think, what on earth was yesterday all about Exeter? It's about three P's. So if you want to watch for Jesus this week, we're going to watch with purpose, we're going to watch with perseverance, and we're going to watch with prayer. Okay, so our first P is purpose. I don't know whether this, whether you're an interactive audience, but it would be great if once you could turn the passages up and read them, because I'm not so used to my voice all the time. So, let's have a quick look at Ezekiel 33, and I can see Simon rushing to find it for me. He's now. Can we just perhaps read the first six verses, Simon?
The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land, choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and see, he sees the sword coming against the land, and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet, but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken the warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of any of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood.
Thanks, Simon. So here's a really key scriptural principle about watching. Here's a purpose associated with this watching activity. And here's this man keeping watch over a city. So watching is an active thing to do. And it's actually something that all of us in this room can do together. So during the coming week, when you come to this hall, or when you talk to each other, or whatever interaction you have, it's something you can actually support and help each other with. That's what was going on in keeping watch over the city. I've also put that it's linked to prophecy, and we'll come to that in a moment. Now, here is an amazing thing that I learned not that long ago. When God asked Jeremiah this very question. So this is incredible. So it's in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to need to read two verses. I need to really think this through. This is really quite amazing. So God asked Jeremiah a question. So I don't know whether somebody's there, if they can just read these two verses. Thank you so much.
First, what are the verses?
It's Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my words before it.
Thanks very much. This is an amazing couple of verses, and you may know this, if you do, then you'll have been amazed, I'm sure, the first time you actually found out what this meant. So here's the question to Jeremiah, what do you actually see? Okay, so imagine that we were being asked this question, okay, by God. Jeremiah didn't say, I see the tree of a branch. He specifically said, I see the olden tree. So why is that important? What's incredible about this? It's on the screen for me, so I can't pronounce these words. But this is no sort of coincidence that Jeremiah said he saw the branch of an almond tree. Okay? The Hebrew word for almond tree is virtually the same word for watching over. So here's the Lord God telling Jeremiah something really, really important about this word, watch. He also assured Jeremiah that he was going to watch as well. Oh, this is interesting, though. So watching is now a two-way process. So we watch, and God watches. And God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to give you the assurance that I'm watching because you have recognized the almond tree. It's just a beautiful little picture about how intricate the scripture can be at times and how easy it is to miss these little lessons that are there for us. So, isn't that a wonderful thing that was said to Jeremiah? Imagine if you were Jeremiah and you hear those words. You have watched correctly. So now we're starting perhaps to see this whole business about how do we watch for Jesus is actually really quite important. Because what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah actually, there's a correct way of watching, and you have watched correctly because you identified that I put the almond tree there in front of you, and you said it was an almond tree because you knew it was about watching. So it's a great no surprise that as we go through the prophecy of Jeremiah and listen to some of Jeremiah's other words, he talks about other things to do with watching. So verse 28, for example, from Jeremiah 31. Just as I watched over them, so he's now talking about Israel, to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. So again, we're getting this reinforcement of a message of two-way watching. So the reason why I asked Ken if he'd just read a little section for us from Mark chapter 13, because that whole chapter is about watching. And we read these wonderful words, which we've read so many times, talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen when people are watching? So, our first P about purpose is to watch correctly. Okay, so just bear with me and I'll expand on it a bit further. In this case, it was about understanding the signs that Jesus was giving them and giving us in Mark chapter 13. And it was linked to prophecy. So he gave the disciples, as you know in that chapter, a prophecy about what was going to happen, probably in their lifetimes, to that amazing temple that they looked at. You have to put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples. They were looking at a building that they could never contemplate being destroyed. It was so massive. And here's Jesus saying to them, do you see all these great buildings? They're all going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And so we can go to Josephus, the historian of the time. Not that many years after, we can find historical pictures and Josephus' comments about what actually happened to Jerusalem. As soon as the army had no more people to kill or plunder, Caesar gave orders they should now demolish the entire city. This was the end which Jerusalem came to. So in this chapter, where Jesus is talking about watching at the start, he says to his disciples, watch, but watch correctly. Watch with a purpose. Watch for the things that matter. So I don't know whether you picked this up, but about 10 days ago, an amazing thing happened. It was the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. There's a sister in Maidenhead who's 102. So it's in her lifetime. And here it is, written in November the 2nd, 1917, the start of the return of the establishment of the State of Israel. And of course those words that have been the foundation that was so totally misunderstood, even though it has the phrase, it being clearly understood that nothing should be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. So here we have the Balfour Declaration, which had that wonderful aspiration, which went so wrong. And of course, it never turned out to be the way they thought it was going to be when it happened. So there were some in this room, I'm sure, without being rude, who were alive, and I was alive in 1959, so, in 1948, you saw this happen. I don't know whether you could go back to 1948 and the excitement that you might have felt if you were alive when this prophecy came to life. I mean, I didn't ask Alex, but I bet if we went and did a straw poll of the number of a straw poll of young people outside, they'd have no idea that Israel started in 1948. You look. You remember it? Yes. Yes. And do you remember what you felt like at the time?
Very excited.
Yeah.
8 years old.
8 years old and very excited. And if the Lord has spoken to you, you said you're washing correctly. Okay. Now, what is all this about washing correctly? Now, bear with me. Okay? This man is on the news every single day. I mean, he literally cannot escape him. Okay? Would you agree with that? I mean, he's created more interest than anybody I can really recall in my lifetime. I mean, we never used to listen to Barack Obama every day. Occasionally, we did some visits. Literally, every news. Because it's just great news for the media. So, it would be very easy for us to just completely dismiss this man. Maybe another tweet from Trump, or another statement in some foreign country. This is the sort of thing you write every day, and we just dismiss it, don't we? And what we could forget, which is why it's really important that we watch correctly, is he's just the epitome of what I'm trying to get to. Easy not to watch him at all. He's completely irrelevant to us. Completely irrelevant to God. Absolutely not. Absolutely at the centre of what God is watching over with Israel. Absolutely at the centre. So our focus shouldn't be on the tweets that Trump writes about this. We've got to work a bit harder in our watching, because we want to watch for the bit where Trump is actually talking about Israel. And he has a lot to say. For starters, if you go and Google Trump and Israel, there are numerous images of Trump with the flag in the state of Israel. And it's interesting, in Daniel chapter 4, we might think all sorts of things about Trump. But actually, it's God who says, all who are alive will know the Most High God is King. He rules over all kingdoms on earth. He gives them to anyone he wants. So this is what Trump says about Israel. There is nobody more pro-Israel than I am. So this week, don't turn him off. Okay, when he comes on, don't turn him off. Watch with a purpose to see, is he saying anything about Israel today? That's what we should be watching for. I'm a big fan of Israel. So our first P was watching with purpose. So hopefully we've kind of started to think about our watching. We need to watch with a purpose. We need to learn how to watch correctly. We need to think about what we're watching and why we're watching it. So in that last verse that Ken read for us in Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And perseverance is quite tough. Now here's an interesting thing, isn't it? See, Simon Peter, who was within a stone's throw of the Lord Jesus Christ, could not watch correctly. He couldn't. He just couldn't do it. So that says to me an awful lot, really. I mean, Simon was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was specifically asked to do something, and yet, he couldn't do it. He just couldn't persevere through a time period without falling asleep. So there's a real lesson in here about watching is not an easy thing to do. It was easy. And bearing in mind, Simon Peter was less than a stone's throw away from Jesus. He'd have been on the alert. So, don't be scared about the fact that sometimes it's hard to watch. It was hard for Simon Peter. It was hard for Simon Peter. So again, we read these words. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest suddenly he finds you sleeping. Now, we need to bring together our three P's of how to watch for Jesus. So we're watching with a purpose, we're watching with perseverance, and we're going to pray. And sort of another word for perseverance is effort. See, watching for Jesus, how to watch for Jesus, is not easy. We might just say, oh, we're watching the signs of the times, but that's a very reactive, it's not an active. This verse from Colossians says you've got to give a lot of time to this. You've got to give effort to your prayer. You've always got to be watchful, and you've got to be thankful. So here we see the link between perseverance and prayer and watching with a purpose. So it's the praying part that I think we could usefully think about this week. So it's about praying in an active way for perseverance, and as Jeremiah did, watching and praying that we might see the right things. So that our faith becomes strengthened as a community and as individuals, and we can have the confidence of knowing that the watching is a two-way process, because God is watching us. That's the lesson that Jeremiah learned. And what we want to know and to hear is the words that Jeremiah heard, which is, you have watched correctly. So we've got to find our way through all the nonsense of the Trump tweets, as my example for you, and find our way to the tweet that's relevant because it's the almond branch. Now it's to do with God. Now God's watching what he's doing. Now Daniel tells us that he put Trump there, as he has done all the other leaders, for a purpose. So that's what we need to be thinking about. So what should we pray? I just put the Lord's Prayer there, because almost immediately the prayer is for your kingdom to come. That's what our watching is about, isn't it? That's what it's leading to. We're watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're watching and we're wanting the establishment of his kingdom on earth. So that all of these shocking things that we see and read about every day will come to an end. So now I'm going to elevate your responsibility as watchers. I'm going to take you back to Ezekiel. See, our watching now becomes something completely different. Because now you're watching with purpose, you're watching with a perseverance, and you're watching in prayer. By doing those things, you become a different person, because you become a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what you're doing is, if you're doing this day in, day out, you transform yourself. Because that's what you're doing. Your whole raison d'etre during the week is you're watching, you're thinking about it. You're probably talking about it to other people at church, or maybe people at work, or whatever. But the watching becomes real. It becomes relevant. It isn't something that becomes a bit wishy-washy about, I'm watching for the signs of the times. That's not what watching is. Watching is about a transformation process that takes you into this world where you're like the watchman in Ezekiel, where you're actually doing something that's active, that people can see that you are watchmen for the return of the Lord, and they ask you, why are you doing these things? And when the next person says to you, which they will do if you talk about Donald Trump to anybody, the man's an idiot or something like that, you've got a very great answer for him. I'm an idiot. The man has been put there by the Lord God. And did you know that Trump is really pro-Israel? And they look at you astonished, because they just assume that Trump is all about fake news and that kind of stuff. So it's a great conversation piece. In today's world, when actually most people are fairly fearful about what he might do. I think if we asked everybody in Exeter whether they thought the world was a safer place now than it was before he was elected, I think they would say the world is less safe now than 12 months ago when he wasn't in power. Would that be fair to think? We should be safe now, of course. We should be thinking about what's going on here, watching with a purpose, so that we become the watchmen and women. So there we go. So hopefully tomorrow morning or this week we'll have an opportunity to think about how we watch for Jesus. So think about the three P's. Watching with purpose, watch with perseverance because it takes effort, and watch with prayer. If you do those three things well, you will transform the way you interact with people this week. And you will become watchmen for Jesus. And the Lord will watch what you're all doing, and he will be saying to you, you've watched correctly. And that will transform your life. Thank you very much again. Mm-hmm.